Wampus Cat. I don't feel like singing, so I'm just gonna talk like this. There's the Wampus Cat. Can I get a Wampus Cat? This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have the Wampus Cat, Mr. Randy England, Esquire. How are you, Randy England?
Right here in mid-Missouri, where I belong.
Good. We're going to talk about the Midwest tonight, and we're going to talk about windowless bunkers I have visited in the Midwest. And but I want to wish you a happy wrestling day. You know what wrestling day is?
Nope, I don't.
Well, you know, the day after Christmas is Boxing Day in England and, you know, Australia and former English colonies. And Boxing Day, it has nothing to do with pugilism. It has to do with putting away the boxes after the Christmas presents have been opened. However, that's not the only Christian holiday that is a mass, the Mass of Christ, Christ Mass. Yesterday was Michaelmas. Did you know that?
You know, I have heard of that, but I don't remember what it is.
It's the Feast of St. Michael. It's the celebration of Lucifer getting his eviction notice.
That was a big event then.
Yeah,
okay.
It was. And, you know, I don't know if it's a big day in the church, but yeah, I like that there's a name. I have my own, you know, there's Christ Mass and then there's my Mass. You know, I have my own day, man.
You have your own feast day.
Yeah, and yesterday was Michaelmas, and it was also my 8th wedding anniversary, and it was also, I found out yesterday, DJ and I got married on Ludwig von Mises' birthday. That's pretty cool.
You got a whole lot going for that day. Yeah. You know, one thing, we Catholics, we totally approve of adopting like a day like that for your own, you know, to go along with, well, St. Michael was like the most
he's bad A.
He's very bad. Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's
cool.
He's the one they sent to kick the devil's butt.
Yeah, he's like the Terminator of the Bible, man, or one of them. Yeah. Yep. And I like that. I like that. You know, I don't like when people call me Mike. First of all, I say, hi, I'm Michael Dean. They're like, hey, Mike, good to meet you. I hate that. First of all, they're taking a liberty. They're assuming familiarity. They're assuming they know me. But even, you know, that aside, I don't consider Mike my name. And the way I usually explain it to people is I say, no, Mike's the guy that pumps your oil at the gas station, or pumps your gas at the gas station. Michael is the angel that threw Lucifer out of heaven. And even if they're not religious, they instantly go like, well, that guy's a prick and I'm never going to call him Mike again or talk to him at all. But they remember.
So, he will remember.
So I've decided that today is wrestling day instead of boxing day in honor of the fact that the Freedom Fiends all have animal wrestling names. Like you're the Wampus Cat and I am the Iron Hamster. So today is wrestling day. I have decreed it.
Now, when you were with, you go by Michael and just Michael, and I assume not Mike. Well, you said not Mike. I assume not Mikey. But back when you're going, you know, when you were 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, was there a point where you made that decision or did it just kind of go that way?
To do what?
To be called Michael.
I'm sorry, I was reading an email from someone who is praising my talents and saying they think that I'm going to replace Stefan Molyneux. I was distracted by shiny things. It is Stefan Molyneux's birthday, and for his birthday, we're not going to say anything about him. So,
not going to say anything more?
Yeah, today. happy birthday, Stefan Molyneux. We're going
happy
to
birthday.
Celebrate your birthday by not talking about you, because you'd probably... That would be a good birthday present from the Fiends lately. All right, so moving right along, we did a little bit of we promised windowless bunkers in the Midwest, and we're going to deliver them. What video did I foist on you to watch just before the show?
Well, you called me up and told me that I had to watch this video Go ahead.
Let me give out the website so those playing the home version that have better internet than my DSL who can do more than two things, one thing at a time, can actually look at it. The website is theouthousethefilm outhouse.com. The outhouse, the film.com. So go ahead.
Well, you told me that I really needed to watch this film, and I got about 2/3 of the way through the trailer. And it's basically this place where there was punk rock played, and it was like a stationary freak show. And I didn't get finished with it, but everybody was saying about how even though everybody there was damaged and freaky,
yeah.
they were really, really nice, great people. And I didn't see you yet in it, but maybe it's coming up.
The trailer. That's the 10-minute trailer that the guy used to fund this on Kickstarter. And he raised, I don't know, 10 grand, 6 grand, something like that, enough to do it. And he interviewed me for it. He actually sent me the questions, and I filmed myself and sent him the data, you know, high def data on DVDs. And I'm allegedly going to be in this film. I don't know when it's coming out. I'm looking forward to seeing it, whether I'm in it or not. I'd be cool if I'm in it. But, you know, I was just one of the pantheon of clowns that stepped through that place. We played there twice. My band Bomb played there probably in 88 and then again in 89. And one of the shows was pretty well attended. I mean, it's Lawrence, Kansas. It's nowhere. It's college town, the middle of nowhere. And the outhouse was literally a windowless structure, a windowless bunker in the middle of a cornfield about 18 miles outside of the tiny town of Lawrence, Kansas, which is, I don't know, what, an hour from Kansas City or something like that?
Yeah. It looked like concrete blocks. Is that what it was? Yeah,
it was literally, I mean, it might have been a granary or something at one time. It wasn't very big. It was one story. It was, you could pack 200 people into there. There's a story that someone tells later in that snippet, in that 10-minute piece, about how they were amazed. It was one of the guys running it. It was like amazed that he said some bands that played here would never come back no matter what. And other bands wanted to come back here even after they got too big to play here. Like the band White Zombie got signed and, you know, we're playing like 2,000 seat arenas in Kansas City. And they're like, no, but we still want to play the outhouse. They're like, okay, we'll book you for a percentage of the door. We can't pay a guarantee. But, you know, White Zombie came and played, and the place holds 200 people, and 900 people showed up and they let them all in. I don't know. That sounds horribly claustrophobic to me, because we played there once where we were the headliner, and there were probably 150 people there, and it was cozy. It was a good, you know, was not empty at 150 people. Let me put it that way. And then we played with L7, who were more popular. It was an all-female punk band, kind of grungy punk band. And there were more than 200 people there, and it was packed. Like, you couldn't move. After a band played there, like, the walls were covered with sweat, like dripping with sweat. It was the kind of place where when we pulled up to play there, the way they welcomed bands was a guy would be standing there with a shotgun firing it into the air when the bands pulled in. And this is like, the reason I wanted you to see this, and the reason I think that the Outhouse documentary and the Outhouse itself and the website where you can see it, theouthousethefilm.com, is something I wanted to bring up with Randy England, is because Randy England is one of the two or three gentlemen of the Freedom Fiends. You know, most of us are like freaky, scummy people, and then a few ladies. But, you know, most of us are kind of like, has some punk rock roots. But then there's like, you and Bill Buppert are the gentlemen of the Freedom Fiends. And then people think Ben's a gentleman, but I know him, and he's a gentlemanly biker. Let's put it that way. So I basically wanted to like freak out the normals by showing you this, but I also wanted to show it to you because you have spoken in very definite and distinct terms about how things could be organized in the lack of a government. And one of the things you've brought up time and time again is how, you know, you're a Catholic and you don't want sin and depravity around you, but you would, as long as no one's being murdered or forced, you would be fine with that happening somewhere that was out of your own damn backyard where you didn't even have to know it existed. And I forgot about this place. And I was thinking when we were prepping for the show tonight, there was a place like that from 1985 to 1997, 3 hours from where you're sitting right now. And I've been there and enjoyed the fruits of it. I made sweet, sweet love with a young lady in that cornfield. This place was, there were no cops. There were drugs. There were not fights that I saw. It was anarchy, really rough and tumble anarchy, working perfectly with no rules, no cell phones, no cops. This is the kind of place that, like, if you got injured, you couldn't call an ambulance. You had to throw someone in a car and drive them 23 miles to a hospital. I mean, it was kind of a libpair. It was definitely without the government, and it worked.
Now, the one thing that concerns me just a little bit about, you know, seeing a thing like that.
It was underage. All the underage people.
No. The image of that and everything that's going on is kind of many people's impression of a stateless society in general. And sometimes you have to convince people that, no, you would have this over here and this over here. And if you want your gated community where no one does anything, you know, wrong, and nobody's grass is more than 3 inches tall, and every house is painted according to the a published color scheme, you can have that. And this, you know, this idea that, I mean, all these people, they all seem perfectly happy together, and yet most people would feel very out of place at the outhouse.
Yeah, well, a couple really interesting things about it that go along with that. One is, we're talking about a documentary that documents basically like what my lifestyle was like for about 20 years. First of all, second of all, we not only can't play a clip, there's some great quotes in here that would definitely fit with what we're saying, but there's profanity in this, so we can't play it on the radio. We not only couldn't play it on the radio, we can't say the names of some of these people on the radio.
At least not their nicknames.
At least not Joey from the band DOA. We can't say his nickname. I don't know if it's his legal name, but he published, you know, he probably received checks under that name. So it was his name. Let's say it was his name. But the thing that really stood out the most to me that was kind of interesting was the band Agnostic Front, their comments in there. And we'll get to them when we get back on Freedom Fiends. Their comments have nothing to do with agnosticism. They have to do with a big city mindset and how it seems weird to me.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, we're playing Freak Out the Normals here tonight by exposing Randy England to some good old-fashioned punk rock in the form of the trailer, the 10-minute trailer for the documentary I'm going to be in called The Outhouse, The Film. It's not about toilets. It's about a rock club called The Outhouse that was active in the outskirts of Lawrence, Kansas from 1985 to 1997. It was a literal windowless bunker in a cornfield where the nearest house was a quarter mile away. And punk rock bands traveled from all over the world to play there. The website is theouthousethefilm.com. And I like scaring the normals, especially when they're my friends and co-hosts like Randy England. So, Randy, you finished the 10-minute thing during the break. What'd you think? Comments? Thoughts?
It looked like everybody was having a good time. But after watching that, and I can't say that I ever was real close to the punk rock culture.
You've probably represented a few of them in court.
But they talked in the trailer about how, you know, everybody here is really different or outsiders or damaged or something. And that's and that's why they all get along so well in that. And I'm thinking, these people all have to be libertarian anarchists, don't they?
That's the thing. One of my great disappointments with punk rock, okay, all of these people, if you asked most of them, if you did a poll, if you walked around the parking lot with a clipboard, first of all, if you didn't look like one of them, they probably would have been rude and joked with you and not giving you straight answers, at least. But if you looked like one of them, they probably would have answered your question. If you said, what are your politics? Most of them probably would have said anarchist. But most of the punk rockers back then didn't understand anarchy very well, confused it with the idea of violence as being a good part of it. Some of them did, because that's what the media did, and a lot of people didn't pay attention or read much.
They still do.
Yeah, and if they did have any – well, yeah, but it's rare for people to call themselves anarchists who – believe anarchy means violence and chaos and say they're anarchists. Usually that's something that the other, you know, but if any of them who actually had a political awareness and could speak beyond just, yeah, I'm an anarchist, would probably say that they're a anarcho-syndicalist or an anarcho-communist. You know, I didn't hear the term anarcho-capitalist until like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. It certainly didn't exist in this realm. Basically, a lot of them probably would have said that their politics are nihilist, and they probably would have misunderstood the meaning of that too, because it really means that, you know, it probably the basic understanding of it, easy way to say it is nihilist means that there is no, it's absolutely being an absolute skeptic. It's believing that there is no absolute morality, which does not mean it's an excuse to act the way most people would consider immoral.
I don't think that's a political system.
Although that would have been an appropriate response from a punk rocker asked, what is your political system? That's the point I'm making, not that it is a political system. Basically, most of them would have said, I don't have any, you know, politics are for squares. That's for old people, man.
Well, I think that if they understood it, people who are outside, you know, as outside what you call normals, okay, it seems to me that those would be the people who would be the first ones to be libertarians, because they would know that even the normals in the that system would accept them.
Yeah. Well, that's my great disappointment with the punk rock scene. And actually, in the interview I did, I said this stuff, and I hope he uses this in the film, but he probably won't, because it really doesn't speak to what was happening back then. But yeah, it's really disappointing to me that all these people who hated the government back then, a lot of them have grown up to be absolute, you know, Obama lickers. I mean, they love Obama, a lot of them. It's kind of sad.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
They've grown up, they grew out of it and left the one thing behind that was most productive about their earlier views.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of, some of them have gone on to have great careers, like Henry Rollins and Ian MacKaye. They're still doing music and they're doing spoken word stuff, and they're, you know, they still draw a crowd, and it's not like, it's not sad. It goes forward and it's interesting. But a lot of those people still have bands, and they're like 55 and have a belly, and they're still trying to fit into their leather pants. And more than all that, they're still playing the same kind of music they were playing back then. It's kind of like going to Vegas to see punk rock, you know. It's like play the hits. And what I did instead was just took the same attitude and turned it into talk radio. You know, that's why this radio show is different than all the other radio shows. It's kind of the punk rock outhouse club attitude taken to FCC controlled radio. And we'll be back with more of that with Randy England and Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the anarchist market with no rules. No rules! Well, no regulation.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom. Freedom. Dumb. 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 Fiends. Hey, Randy England. How are you tonight?
Are you there? Are you safe, Randy England?
I'm safe. I'm contacted by the government today.
Wow, we were getting little dropouts there. I guess it's my new 1996 technology. Are you there, Randy?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I think it was the DSL pipe wasn't big enough for your voice, my voice, and the music coming to me. But, you know, we got to do these things to keep on radio in the rural windowless bunker outhouse adjacent region of Wyoming.
So Cole, I have to take it back. I was contacted by the government today.
How so? Can you talk about it?
It's just an email, so
okay.
I get stuff from them all the time.
Ew. Well, you're an attorney.
But if I'm ever required to, to divulge secret information, we'll have to work out some other system because I get contacted them so much.
We have a warrant canary. It's basically if you get contacted by the government and you can't talk about it, you don't say worms, you say word. That's our decoder ring, man.
Okay, yeah, I could say I can't talk about it.
You missed that memo?
I think I heard it, but you know, I'm one of the older fiends, so I forget.
So I'm using DSL now. You know about that, right?
I heard you talking about that and how primitive it was. It's really kind of back to the roots, isn't it?
Yeah. When I posted about it on Facebook, I said, I'm having to use DSL now instead of cable because it's more solid. But I've gone back in time. I've climbed into a time machine. And one of the funny comments someone said was, oh no, log on to AOL and warn them about the future. All right. So we're talking about this documentary, The Outhouse, the film. The website is theouthousethefilm.com, and I was playing Scare the Normal People by having Randy look at my past, where I used to hang out. It was this windowless bunker with no police and no real security guards, and in the middle of nowhere, about a 30-minute drive from a hospital, and in Lawrence, Kansas, or outside Lawrence, Kansas. And there's a documentary coming out about it. I'm going to be in it. I was interviewed for it. As a filmmaker, I know better than to say I'm going to be in a film, because I know when you start cutting a documentary, you never know who's going to be in it. But if you put it this way, if I'm not in it, I have all my outtakes or I have all my footage. I can put it up. And I told him I wouldn't until the film came out. So I have that, and I did a good job with it. So one thing that's kind of interesting about this, you know, we talk about the not in my backyard or NIMBY. You know, people are like, well, I'm all in favor of nuclear power and medical marijuana, but I don't want it near where I live. And
the outhouse wasn't in anyone's backyard, though, was it?
Well, they actually talk in there about the neighbors. I mean, you could see a house from there, but they probably could barely even hear it from the house. It was, it was not close neighbors. But one other thing. Oh, the other thing is, you know what that place became after it was a punk rock club, Randy?
No.
A strip club. So, you know, it goes back with that Catholic libertarian idea of, hey, we could work this all out. You just put all the sin on the other side of the tracks.
Well, that's true. I mean, there are so many of those things that I guess you would call vices, at least people that don't approve of them would call vices, that the government has no business outlawing. I think you said earlier, like, you know, there'd be this stuff and that stuff, and I wouldn't have any problem with it. You know, I'm not sure that you know, just anything that went on would be, you know, I could say I don't have any problem with it, or some other people don't have a problem with it, even though they're willing not to criminalize it. And honestly, nobody has any more right, you know, claim over me than for me to simply leave them alone. If they're wanting my approval, I may withhold it. I mean, doesn't matter if we're in Libya yeah. or not. And so to leave them alone and let them do their thing. I mean, if the outhouse is next door to me, you know, I may register a noise complaint. I don't yeah. know.
Yeah,
unless they were there first, of course.
But it was literally like so far. It was kind of like the Area 51 of punk rock. It was so far away from civilization. You know, it was where bad people went to listen to bad music, and that was the biggest crime happening there. It was bad people listening to bad music.
You know, one thing I saw seeing that, and I could be completely wrong about this, but when I think about, you know, LibPair, and you talk about in the future when we have this free society, and you have all property would be private. So yeah. if someone would not conform to the norms of the people that are owning, you know, the property in this city or something, they would have nowhere to go. They would have to leave. And I'm sure you know the term, you know, outlaw, people that cannot stay, and they could be, you know, the idea of an outlaw is somebody who's really, really, really bad.
Well, you know, we talked on Sunday about the origins of the term outlaw, and it meant something different than it means now. Now it means, you know, someone who lives their life outside the law. What it originally meant in old Germanic law was someone who'd been ousted from society and was no longer given the protection of law. It was basically a death.
I think that's the right meaning.
Probably. It was a death sentence yes. in a society that had no corporal punishment. It was basically, you know, they basically said, okay, it's now legal to kill this person.
And, you know, I'm not sure how it happened in a lot of places, but I have read about Iceland back in the Free State of Iceland, which ran from about 900 through 1200 or so AD, where they didn't have government there. But they had things worked out. And if somebody did something really bad, like, say, killed someone, and the relatives of the person that died didn't just go back and kill the guy that did it.
They had to pay him war geld or blood geld, right?
Well, yeah, they could settle it. But if they wouldn't settle it, they would take it to they called their parliament like the thing or something. But anyway, they would take it to the thing. And if the thing – oh, and the big one for all of Iceland was called the All Thing.
I think the government here should be called really the cool. thing. I think that's what the court should be called. Like, you know, if you're going to meet your client at the courthouse, you should say, I'll meet you at the thing.
At the thing. Is that the regular thing or the all thing? But at the all thing, if they decided that you were guilty, they would banish you. And they would say, you have to leave. And most of the time on Iceland, they went back to Norway. And if you were found on the island, what you said, they could kill you.
And, you know, I think that the people that were banished to Norway, I think their descendants are the people who grew up and created Norwegian black metal, which probably should be the topic of another show with you if we're going to do freak out the normal people. Although that stuff's really freaky, man. Some of those people murder each other and eat their roommates after killing them and burn down churches and things like that. So they're...
I'm sure you would have to make me watch another video before I would get it, okay?
Some Norwegian black metal makes the outhouse look like choir boys, literally. Okay, so the one thing in the outhouse documentary that I wanted to that really stood out to me, like, none of it really seemed that freaky to me. Well, except for one thing, Ian MacKay, the guy talking at the beginning, talks about how his band Minor Threat, or maybe it was Fugazi, played there, and they pulled up, and the posters that the venue had made were, I don't even know if I can describe this politely enough for radio, the posters they made were the singer in the band who was playing, like, pre-Photoshop, like, you know, pasted, Xeroxed a picture on another picture of him having, let's say, relations with a pig. And the poster had words on it making fun of him and calling him self-righteous. And it's like, I think that's the only venue I've ever played where they would do that, where they would make fun in a really deep, dark, mean, heavy way of the headlining band that night. That was the kind of place that was.
Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, but I still say you might have represented somebody who went through there one time or another. But the thing that really stood out to me the most, that was like, you know, none of it seemed that freaky to me, but the thing that seemed freaky to me was that one band, Agnostic Front from New York City, the ones that kind of like, you know, they talked really New York City. They were like, well, forget a cow field? Forget about it. I don't know nothing about no club in a cornfield. I'm used to the city. You know, and it was like, Agnostic Front were had this reputation as like a gang. I mean, they got in fights everywhere they went. They were tough, you know, downtown New York guys, you know, union members, workers, dock workers, that kind of people. And but it seemed bizarre to me that like people who lived I would consider that a kind of strange life to live, and they considered like playing at a peaceful, rowdy venue in the middle of nowhere bizarre because they couldn't walk across the street and get a beer or use a payphone. Like, that was weird to them. And to me, that's really weird. It's really weird to me that a lot of people in America would feel that way. Like, I don't have basic services here. Oh my God, what will I do? And these are like tough guys who have this image, you know, rightfully deserved image as like survivors and fighters and street punks. And they go to a, like, you know, a club with no beer store across the street and no pizza shop down the street, and they freak out. That's interesting to me.
Did this place have rules?
That people observe. I don't even think it had bathrooms, Randy. What are rules?
I mean, did they have customary rules? I mean, was it frowned upon if you went up and hit somebody or
yeah
or what?
Yeah. Well, I can guarantee you that like if you stole the venue's microphone, they'd beat you up if they caught you.
Well, that would just be defensive property.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing any rules posted. I did see underage people drinking there. I saw, you know, shotguns being blown off in the parking lot by the owner to welcome bands. But there weren't, I don't think there were written rules on the wall. I mean, there was so much graffiti. If there were rules on there, I probably would have missed it. But yeah, man, I don't remember any rules. I mean, I think it was a rule that you had to pay to get in. I don't think he could get in if it was, you know, if they were charging at the door without paying. I don't know.
Then that would be a rule. I assume that they were mostly unwritten rules.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think it was like, you know, they didn't have the anarchy rules. I heard the phrase anarchy rules a lot, but I never saw them.
I've never seen them either. I don't know. I know the one rule.
What is it? Don't aggress.
Yeah.
Well, the two times we played there, I didn't see any fights. I didn't see anybody having verbal fights in the parking lot. It was very rowdy. I don't know if peaceful would be the right word, but I didn't see any violence and I didn't see anybody yelling at anybody. So it worked the two nights I was there.
Was this on just one occasion or did you go back?
No, we played there like 1 year, you know, once one year and then came back the next year. You want to play some Cards Against Humanity tonight?
You'd have to teach me how.
It's really easy. It's a drinking game. It's that easy. We'll play some Cards Against Humanity when we get back. All right, worms.
I don't promise that I'll be any good.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah. time for another stirring round of Libertarians Against Humanity on the Freedom Fiends. Now, Cards Against Humanity is a popular open source card game. It's kind of like apples to apples for malcontents. It's basically a card game where you have somebody presents a challenge card, and then somebody, or a call card, and then someone gives a response card, and whoever picks the funniest response card wins that round. You really don't, you could keep track, you could keep a score in this game, but people generally don't. It's generally a fun drinking game, and it's called Cards Against Humanity, and it's a takeoff on the phrase Crimes Against Humanity, because a lot of the subject matter is kind of dark and dark humor. And my friend Jim Jesus made a libertarian version of it that actually even has some Freedom Fiends kind of stuff in it. And he was calling it Libertarians Against Humanity, but now it's just called Libertarians Against Humanity, which I think is a much better name, because it's iffy, and it'll make people go, what? We're not against humanity, and look at it. So, you know, it's good link bait. So Randy's going to be the pitcher. I'm going to be the catcher. No, Randy's going to do the calls, and I'm going to do the responses, because I know the deck better than him. So go ahead and give me some call cards here.
Okay, I'll start with one. Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to blank.
Open carrying.
That's pretty good. That's the best one so far.
Yeah, the best ones either work really well or are completely absurd, I think. So, you know, actually, it's kind of interesting because the book Moulin Labe by Boston Tea Party has the economy tied to open carrying, because in that book, Wyoming becomes a minarchist libertarian paradise, and the governor and the, you know, the state passes a law that you don't have to pay any tax if you open carry constantly, because the idea basically being the people who don't carry a gun should pay for the police. And if you're carrying a gun, you don't need to pay for the police. So, you know, basically, literally, like, the economy in that book is tied to open carrying. And then some of the leftists who don't want to carry a gun start carrying replica guns so they don't have to pay taxes, and they get caught and they get charged with tax evasion.
Counterfeiters.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
At next year's Pork Fest, they're going to have blank.
Government guns. That's horrible. All right. What's next?
Okay. You know, they can't all of them be big winners. Here we go. Yeah. Token libertarian girl dresses up like blank to make a point about...
Are there two blanks in that one?
Yeah, there's two blanks. Okay.
Token libertarian girl dresses up as anarcho bacon to make a point about the free market.
All right.
Give me another.
True libertarians always blank.
Homestead a ring around someone's property to prevent their escape. I think that's my favorite card. He's also made t-shirts of some of these, and that's one of the t-shirts.
You've been reading your Rothbard, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I think we need to have a discussion at some point about what, you know, because that's one of the, like, that's the basic statist cry is, who would build the roads? And the advanced statist cry is, Liberty wouldn't work because people could homestead a ring around your property and prevent your escape.
Yeah.
All right, give me another one.
Don't blank me, bro.
Don't the futility of the voting process me, bro. Next one.
Did I miss that? Did you hear Free Talk Live last night? Ian said blank is a great form of activism.
Did you hear Free Talk Live last night? Ian said rolling blunts on a copy of The Socialist Worker is a great form of activism.
10 points, yes. Yeah. Anarchy, but who will build the blanks?
A bunch of socialists.
Are you ready for another one?
Yeah, man. Just keep them going. Keep going.
Libertarians have to recognize that their ideology will never be accepted by blank.
Doomsday preppers. Next one.
True libertarians never blank.
The free market. Give me another one.
There we go. The Ethics of Liberty by Murray Rothbard says, the law may not forbid blank.
He's investing in Galt's Gulch, Chile. All right, we'll be back with hour
correct
two.
Again.
We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends.
I after can't
this
touch
trip
that.
To the market. I can't either. Worms.
Worms.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, and that's the Wampus Cat, Mr. Randy England Esquire. He's an attorney, not a doctor.
Yes, we're not called doctors.
It's all good, man. That's my Breaking Bad joke.
Yes, I know.
I'm amazed how many people, including me, watched Breaking Bad for a long time and didn't realize that the criminal attorney, Saul Goodman, his name is a joke. It's all good, man. It's all good, man. Yeah, it's a joke. It's pretty funny.
I love that guy.
And he actually says at some point that he's Irish, that he just has a Jewish name because the homeboys will hire him then because they think they need a Jewish attorney. So, yeah.
But we're not sure what the truth is, though, are we?
Yeah, at one point they show his law degree. I think Walt's wife, when she first meets him, is waiting for him and is looking on his wall, and I think his law degree is from like the College of American Samoa or something. It sounds like a mail order thing.
It's not from Notre Dame.
No, it's not Harvard Law School. All right, so we're going to play some more Libertarians Against Humanity, which is Jim Jesus's expansion deck for Cards Against Humanity, which I will link in the show notes. And I also want to mention, if anybody has any comments, we're in the comment period of having gone from 96K MP3 files encoding to 100, back to 128K, which sounds better but makes a bigger file. So far, I've had two comments, both positive, saying, I love it. I can hear it better. One guy is someone who works as a gardener and listens to podcasts while, you know, running a leaf blower and doing noisy stuff. And he said he can understand it. It's more clear now. And the other was an audiophile who just said, hey, man, it just sounds better. It's worth the extra download 5 seconds or whatever. I'm wondering if there's anybody who, like, is on G3, you know, on a chromed robot turd instead of G4 or something, and it takes too long to download or times out or any problems like that. If I don't hear any, you know, negative comments or if the positive comment – I've only mentioned it once, so only two people have mentioned, and I think that most people just – you know, they don't notice or it doesn't bother them, put it that way. So I'm an audiophile. I work hard to make this stuff sound good. I want it to sound as good as possible. And we're getting to a point where bandwidth is just shouldn't even be an issue. So let me know in the next couple of days if you like the better file, the bigger file size and better audio quality, or if it's a big hassle and makes your phone die or something like that. So we're going to play. Go ahead.
You didn't think that was a little bit excessive? I mean, the only cost to downloading that file, those files, is bandwidth, right?
Yeah, although some people pay for bandwidth and have a cap if they're on a mobile phone. You know, if like they don't own a computer, their only connection to the world and the internet is an iPhone or an Android phone, you know, they're probably getting 10 gigs a month or 40 gigs a month and paying a set fee for it and probably have to pay, you know, per fraction of a gig over that, so...
I know, but going from 96 to 128, I mean, that's like 33% inflation at one whack.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying it's extreme or it's not extreme?
Well, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's going from 50 megs to 70 megs. I mean, you know, on cable internet, you can download the 70 meg version in under 20 seconds. So that's, you know, and for most people that subscribe via RSS with, you know, some kind of pod feed, some kind of podcatcher like iTunes or something, it happens in the background when they're not even looking. So,
yeah, I'm not bumping up against any walls yet. So,
yeah,
no complaints from here.
Yeah, you have that quality Midwest. You know, actually, some of the best internet speeds in the country are in your part of the country, because the hub that controls all of the internet data in America is in Kansas. Did you know that? I forget the name of the town. It's like,
is it near the outhouse?
No, but it's like one town where everything routes through. I think it's called, you know, the NSA's outhouse or something, but I don't know. It's where the big trunk is for the whole nation.
Like Wichita or Topeka.
Yeah, it's not that. It's something else. I forget what it is.
Well, but those are the only towns that are in Kansas.
No, it's one of those like company towns. It's one of those industry towns where the whole town is run by, you know, I'll look it up. Data Center Kansas.
Oh, well,
I don't know.
It could be Kansas City. You know, they have some kind of – Kansas is where Google put in their first – I think their first big fiber optic.
It's Overland Park, Kansas.
Oh, that's Kansas City. Okay.
Okay.
That's just across the street from Kansas City.
Well, the outhouse is just down the street from Kansas City.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Maybe that's what the outhouse is now. Maybe it's data center. It would be a – I don't know if it would be a good location for it, because I think it gets pretty hot there in the summer. But, you know, who knows? So you want to play some Cards Against Humanity there?
Let's play some cards. All right. I have some cards here.
Give me some calls. I'll give you
shuffling
some responses
while we were blabbering on there.
Yeah.
Are you ready for one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The new competitor to the Silk Road got shut down for selling blank.
Christopher Cantwell.
You know, I don't have a key here.
Oh, so you think you got to dump that?
We're gonna give you that.
Okay. Okay.
No, I mean, I don't have a key telling me what the right answer is. I just have the cards.
There is no right answer. This is not really a game of skill. It's a drinking game. It's just having fun, man. It's kind of like tic-tac-toe, you know? Everybody wins an equal number of times, I think.
What are you drinking? I've got iced tea. I don't think that's what you meant. Okay, here's another one.
Randy, I drank so much and did so much drugs that when I stopped 20 years ago, I'm still buzzed, man.
You're still residual. You still couldn't pass a breathalyzer, right?
I could pass a breathalyzer easy. I don't think I could pass the one where you have to touch the tip of your toes with your nose, though. Wait, is that it? No. Okay, go ahead.
Walk and turn, you know. Okay. Here's a card. In the updated version of Defending the Undefendable, Walter Block defends blank.
Larkin Rose, the mom jean wearing leprechaun. I'm just calling him. I'm just reading.
That's good. I'm sure that's right. It sounds good to me.
Does he wear mom jeans? I know Obama has been said to wear mom jeans, but I don't know. I'm wearing, like, you know, middle-aged lesbian sweatpants right now. I'm one to talk.
I'm not sure what mom jeans are.
I don't know either.
But I'm married to one, so maybe I think
they're acid wash jeans.
Okay. Kind of looking worn out then. Sounds comfortable. All right. You want ready for another one?
I will do this all night, man. This is more fun than talking about tyranny. Or law. The thing is, I nailed you down and made you nail you down. I got you to do two shows in a row where you were a lawyer. You were explaining the law, and it was very popular, but you said, I don't want to do that for a couple more episodes. And this is about as far from doing that as we can be. So, and it's easy. So let's do some more of it.
There's nothing legal going on here.
All right.
Okay. According to a Salon article, libertarianism will eventually devolve into blank.
A social contract.
Okay. Is that the right answer?
No. Do it again. Give me it again.
Okay. Let's do it again. According to a Salon article, libertarianism will eventually devolve into blank.
A hot libertarian woman getting lots of hits on YouTube recycling verbatim things she heard on LRN.
See, I think that's already happened.
I wrote that card. I built that card. Yeah, I think that is already happening.
You're saying by definition that answer is right. So that's three in a row for you. That's pretty good.
I think we're both winning. I could pitch and you could catch if you want.
I'm not ready for it.
You kind of have to learn the deck to really do it. Okay, give me some more.
You can tell I have a cold, so that would probably
I can't tell, really.
Disadvantage
I
mean,
you
me,
mention
you know?
It, and I go, man, maybe he does. But no, it's not what you think it is. You sound fine, man.
I'm hoping it's a cold. But, you know, today I'm sitting around here, you know, like feeling sorry for myself, and I get a headache and this. And I open the paper and hear about the first Ebola patient.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Here are the symptoms if you have these.
Oh, they're basically a flu.
You may have Ebola.
There are 6 million Americans with a runny nose right now thinking they have Ebola. I think the name of this episode is going to be Nothing About Ebola, because I think we are probably the only talk show who's not talking about Ebola today. Free Talk Live did like 2 hours on Ebola today.
Sorry, I guess I blew it then.
No Ebola. All right.
No, I read the list, and I think I have it. So.
Well, I don't think you have it, man. The only person in America that has it brought it from Africa and is in quarantine in a hospital in Dallas. I don't think you have it.
Well, my eyes aren't bleeding yet. So
we got to stop talking about this, because then I won't be able to call the episode Nothing About Ebola.
All right, almost nothing.
All right.
In the long run, Michael, in the long run, we're all blank.
The gun in the room.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Isn't the right answer we're all dead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here's one. Boy, I sure don't know what the answer is, but it's short. Blank. That's like the first word in the sentence. Blank. Via the blockchain.
Jury nullification via the blockchain. Or how about this? Trying to bring about a free society by selling jars of homemade jam out of your garage via the blockchain.
Well, you could do that.
I was thinking
the other day, the blockchain is like, is it the answer to everything?
No, it's, well, here's the thing. The libertarians' answer to everything forever has been the market. And people, the way that sounds to people who aren't libertarians, that sounds like you're saying magic fairy dust will build the roads. Magic fairy dust will feed those who are infirm and cannot work. But really, the market is just people. And the blockchain is talked about so much like a mystery, because it is a new thing. You know, an encrypted, unchallengeable ledger that updates in public. That has not existed in history before. That's all it is.
Now, when I said it's the answer to everything, that was hyperbole, okay?
Oh, I know.
But just today, okay, I'm driving down the road, and there's a big sign. You know, it's election time here, and some guy, I can't even remember his name. He paid for a sign. I can't remember the guy's name. He's running for recorder of deeds. This is the guy that keeps track of
that. Can be done by the blockchain for sure.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. Why do we need this clown?
You know,
when
of all
title
the
just be in the blockchain.
Yeah, of all the things that people run for, you know. The few that could not be replaced by the blockchain are probably like coroner and dog catcher. We'll be back with more Libertarians Against Humanity with Randy England and Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the blockchain.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah. I love the Wampus Cat, man.
That's me.
So is that an app or is that on your phone? What is the Wampus Cat?
It's a recording of a Wampus Cat.
You know, I saw a great video the other day. If people want to search it on YouTube, I think it's called something like Do Big Cats Like Boxes? And it's this place in Florida called Big Cat Rescue, which, you know, it's a big cat rescue. It's a place that, you know, takes care of lions and tigers and wampus cats and, you know, all sorts of felines, you know, basically anything bigger than a house cat. I mean,
someone threw them a refrigerator box.
Yes. And the lions and servals and leopards and cougars respond to a refrigerator box exactly the same way your house cat responds to the microphone box from Amazon. It is really fun to watch, man.
Someone should go in there and lie down and sleep in the cage and see if one of them curls up on their face.
They're a little different from house cats in that way.
So they're the same in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. They, I was really amused and just like smiling out loud watching a lion and a cougar and then a serval and then a, you know, all sorts of big cats playing with boxes that are size appropriate to them. They basically just do what your house cat does. They sniff it, they bat it around, they jump inside it, and then they chew it to pieces eventually. But they play with it, man. It's really beautiful to watch. So I can't watch it right now, though. You know, interesting, using the DSL, it has been a godsend or a technology send to save the Freedom Fiends, because in the past month, I mean, there have been five or six nights when I could not do a show and had to get them to either play a repeat or get Derek J, because, you know, you have to connect via Comrex. So, you know, I had to get someone to fill in for me. So I haven't been able to do about one or two shows a week for like a month because my internet service provider is vastly overselling the internet capacity here on the cable. So between 8 p.m. and midnight, it slows down to worse than dial-up for me. You know, when everyone goes on and checks their porn and watches their Netflix and all the stuff people that do on the internet. So I got DSL as a backup. I'm paying for both. If you want to make donations, this is costing me $500 a year more. And I had to go out and spend $275 on a switching router, which is like a piece of rack mount gear. I keep thinking, you know, like 20 times in the past year, I've said, and this will be the final piece of gear I'll ever need to do my show. I had to just go buy this, like, this router that looks like it would be in the data closet of a, you know, medium-sized business. That basically what it's for is to plug two different internet sources into, and it picks the best one automatically. I don't have that hooked up yet. I'm waiting for another piece of equipment. In the meantime, before I do my show at night, I'm just having to unplug three Cat 5 cables from the back of my one router and plug it into my other router. But we're using like we sound good. We're solid. We're more solid than we are even when cable's good sometimes. But I noticed that when I load a web page, the sound gets bad. Like I can't load a web page during the show. Even just like clicking on Facebook, I did this during the break, And like the feed coming from GCN got crunchy for a second.
Oh, wow. Do you have do you also have a cell phone with 4G?
No.
I'm going to say that if you did, that'd be a third thing you could plug in that router. And they'd never cut you off.
Can you plug them into can you use them as an internet provider like that?
Well, I can use mine as a hotspot to run my big computer.
Yeah, so I don't think that would work because I think there'd be too much latency. Wouldn't there be?
Oh, I don't know. I know that
you cannot use satellite internet to do a radio show. I mean, you can, but it'd be like over, and then it'd be like 4 seconds before you could talk.
I have noticed that when I check the speed over the cell phone, even though I get similar speeds over the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
the ping is much longer, like four times.
Yeah,
higher.
You need a low ping to do. You actually don't need that much bandwidth to do a radio show. Like I'm not even getting I don't know if it's guaranteed, but what the package I got is supposed for DSL is supposed to be 1.5 megabits per second download and 1 megabit per second upload, but it's actually like 2/3 of that. And we're able to do the show just fine, but if I load a web page, it gets bad. Yeah, the ping makes a big difference. And actually, like yesterday, when I went to do the show, I called up a little ahead of time and did a test with the Comrex, and I was getting like on cable, I was getting like 8 up and 4 down, but the ping was too long, and they couldn't do it. So ping is everything, man. All right, we'll be back with more Libertarians Against Humanity. After this trip to the market,
worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
That's the Wampus Cat. That's Randy England's Wampus Cat. All right, we're playing Cards Against Humanity, Libertarian version by Jim Jesus. It is called Libertarians Against Humanity. And Randy's pitching and I'm catching, although catching's actually harder, as usual, in the world. So give me some more challenge cards, some more calls, and I will give responses.
All right, here we go. 1776 will commence again if you blank.
Say a magic word that you say in court to get off scot-free.
It could, yes.
All right.
Many people have been trying to bring that off for quite a long time. It hasn't worked yet.
It should work. I think they keep trying because it should work.
It should work. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's where I earn my pay for tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
pardon my cough there. Michael W. Dean's new documentary is called Blank and Blank, The Road to Blank.
Cop blocking and trying to pass off Liberty dollars as official U.S. currency, the road to George Soros.
Are you sure you don't want to call a friend on this one?
Yeah, I guess you could do that in this game, but nah, man, people are overrated. I don't want to talk to them.
We could go to the audience on this if you want.
We stopped taking calls. We just decided that people, it's partly that some of them have nothing to say, but it's more that most of them have horrible audio. So, and until everyone gets the microphone that I'm recommending, we will not take calls. Okay, so go ahead with another one, sir.
You're sort of holding this show hostage, aren't you?
Well, Stephen King did that. There is a precedent. Stephen King was trying to figure out what to do with the internet in about 1994. So he wrote a book. He wrote a few chapters of a book and released them on the internet for free, and then said, I won't write the rest of the book until I get X amount of donations. And he got about 2/3 of it and never got the whole thing. And people got really mad because he was still holding it hostage. I think he finally published the book as a paperback and sold it. And then people were still mad at him. But yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on then, huh?
Yeah.
There's another. I was reading excerpts from the old Ron Paul newsletter. I can't believe he said blanks are blank.
That the invisible hand is actually Jesus.
Is that right?
There's no right answers, man. There's only wrong answers, and the wronger they are, the better this game is. You're getting it. Well, you're figuring
maybe
it
that,
out.
Maybe that is the right answer. I don't know.
Okay, picture the people in the video about the outhouse, that documentary about that punk rock club. They grew up and invented this game, probably.
So when you're figuring your answers, you should ask yourself, what would people at the outhouse?
What would the outhouse do? Yes. Yeah, I have that on a bracelet. I use it to make all major life decisions.
Okay. I knew that, but I wasn't going to say it unless you wanted to volunteer it. Let's see. I'm not sure. Some of these are really hard, but Ryan Fringe Elements Falk announces he's no longer a libertarian and now describes himself as
moving to New Hampshire only to find out they still have a government. I don't know who that person is. So
I don't either.
Yeah, I winged either. That one. All right, next. Well,
that was a good answer.
It was.
Used it once. Okay. Adam Kokesh was most recently arrested for blank.
Cultural Marxism.
Well, see, that was a trick question, and you caught it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Jan Helfeld.
I don't know who that is. Go to the next one.
Jan Helfeld. Okay, okay. We'll have to talk about him some other time. He'll want to debate you, by the way.
Oh, wait. Is that Jan from... What's his podcast? I think he's interviewed me then.
That's the guy who makes libertarians mad at him because he...
No, it's not the same guy.
Okay. I saw him do one with Stephen Kinsella and...
Stephen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Stephen Kinsella and Mr. Helfeld was apparently infuriating. So... Anyway, but I'm sure he's a nice fella and his kids love him.
Well,
so.
Stephen Kinsella was on this show about a month ago and no one got mad at all. No one got hurt. And a good time was had by all. That was night I couldn't get on the internet. Whatever day that was, if people want to know how long I've been having this problem, that was the first show I couldn't do because of my internet problem.
Now, I like him. You see him all around the internet. He gets on and talks to the little people. He'll throw in his two bits, you know, on
he
obscure
likes being,
discussions.
He likes being the attorney on the Liberty shows. You like doing it, but then say, that was hard. Let's talk about punk rock next week.
This is too much like the bar exam. I still have PTSD from that, and I took it in 1990, okay?
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Oh, Jiminy. Well, you know, the one here I haven't asked you. Am I allowed to ask the one that has Christopher Cantwell's name in it?
Well, yeah, I was going to say you can't have any with cussing, and that is only a cuss word on this show. But I think we've rescinded that after realizing there are bigger problems in Liberty, and he's just he's annoying, but he's actually becoming less annoying, I think. I think he's responding to the constant love bombing of Ian Freeman and Derek Jay sitting next to them.
If he's becoming less annoying, he's going in the opposite direction from you and I. But here we are. Christopher Cantwell's controversial new article explains why blank does not violate the non-aggression principle.
I'm going to have to go with a card I used before and say, Christopher Cantwell's new article explains why investing in Galt's Gulch, Chile does not violate the non-aggression principle.
Although it may violate some other principles, right?
I could talk about that forever. Here's my thought. I thought that was iffy when I first heard about it, which was way before there were any articles about how people might have lost millions of dollars on it. Why would you build a libertarian paradise in a socialist country? You know, basically, if you succeed, they're going to wait until you've built it up and then steal it. The government would probably privatize it and take, or, you know, nationalize it and take it.
Yeah, but see, that was back when Venezuela and who's that guy that died of cancer? You know, running it. And everybody then thought that that was definitely the worst country in South America.
Yeah.
And Argentina looked good by comparison.
Well, Chile, too, has a history that, you know, may or may not have bearing on the current Chile. But, you know, as late as 1990, they had a dictator who would make Hitler look, you know, who was in the same class as Hitler, just didn't have enough time and resources to get there before he was ousted. Pinochet, man, that was a guy who brutally murdered anyone who said boo about him. And that was, you know, that's the guy who ran Chile. And he was an anti-communist, which is a good point of just because someone's against bad things doesn't mean they're a good guy. An interesting thing about Pinochet that Ben Stone and I are going to talk about at length on Sunday or Saturday, whenever he's on. Oh, and I do want to mention I'm on the Donk Down Poker podcast tomorrow night. That's interesting. I won't be talking about poker. I don't know anything about it. But, yeah, Pinochet had hired 100 economists who they called the Chicago Boys, who were students of Milton Friedman. And I don't mean they read books by Milton Friedman. I mean they sat in his classroom and learned, you know, laissez-faire economics from him. So this could be a big black mark. It wouldn't be a real black mark against liberty, but I'm surprised people don't bring this up more. Basically, the only time in modern times that Chicago style, or, you know, it's related to Austrian style economics, you know, Chicago style laissez-faire libertarian economics were tried in the world on a national level was by a brutal dictator in Chile.
Well, anybody who has any sense is going to want to know how they can make the cow give the most milk.
Yeah.
And a free market will create more prosperity and more to steal. And the Chinese have figured
this
out.
I was just going to say, I wonder if the Chinese are studying, you know, Milton Friedman, or if they're just studying America, you know, in the 50s. But they are definitely better capitalists right now than America as a nation.
Yeah, I don't think they even care about being commies anymore. I just think they want to be in charge and they want to be rich.
I think they want to have the biggest military in the world, and they're financing it by selling us little plastic things at Walmart.
And we're eating it up.
Yep. Everything in my how to podcast video is probably made in China. All right. Give me another card, brother.
Another card. You're all a bunch of blank, said Ludwig von Mises.
Defoo.
Okay. I didn't know we were going to talk about him again.
I'm reading the cards, man. They're coming up randomly. Shuffling them.
Yeah. They're coming up randomly? Okay. Well, then this is appropriate. In his most recent video, Stefan Molyneux explains the truth about blank.
Worms.
All right. You're on a roll here. Prax girl. You know, I don't think I know Prax girl.
She's one of those libertarians recycling things on the LRN. No, I don't know who she is. I know what Praxis is, but
is Prax guy Praxology still open?
Maybe you could be Prax guy.
Can I be libertarian boy?
I don't know, maybe, but I'll bet Prax girl, whoever she is, will get more hits on YouTube because that's how the world works.
Hey, I could be libertarian grandpa.
There you go. Oh, you know what? I think there's a market for that. You know, for kind of an avuncular, gray-haired, bespectacled gentleman who has a calm demeanor and voice and, you know, drops mad science about, you know, Chicago-style laissez-faire economics.
Now, I'm new at it. I've only been a grandpa for 1 year, or less than a year.
You're a newly minted grandpa, but you're not a newly minted libertarian, so it would work.
Not as new as I am a grandpa. You know, I don't know how long, you know, I've been a libertarian. There are probably a lot of people that had the experience that they're more recently maybe came to libertarianism, but they figured out that they've been libertarian for a long time. They just only figured it out.
That's me. I've only been one since 2005, and it was like coming home, brother. Okay, we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Randy England has slider envy. See, there's this little video going around that only 20 people have seen. It's my hour and 20 minute long how-to podcast video, but it's not ready for public consumption yet because these 20 people, actually probably like 14 people, are looking through the whole thing and giving me notes on it of what made sense and what didn't and what I need to improve before I make it ready for the public. But I've been talking about this video for like 2 months and I'm working on it for like a month. And it's getting close, man. It's in the oven. And the buzzer's going to go off soon. And everyone will be able to sound like the Fiends and do a radio show with remote hosts on very little money and sound great. So we're going to – we've started this mistake. We're going to continue with it. We're going to play Libertarians Against Humanity, the Jim Jesus version of the Cards Against Humanity game, until the end of the show. So Randy England Esquire, who's a grandpa, congratulations – is gonna, you know, you said you wanted to start a, you wanted to be the libertarian grandpa YouTube video. I think you should be the anarchist grandpa. I'd be more likely to click on that. And you
that
are,
would be sort of outrageous.
You what are about an anarcho-capitalist, so you should do
aren't
it.
Aren't there some other? You know, how about well, voluntarians?
No, man, I think I think you should not. Don't worry about the other ones. I like it when anarcho-communists try to tell me that the term anarchist is their property. It's so ironic because they don't believe in property, so they shouldn't believe in intellectual property. So how can they believe a phrase is their property? We've homesteaded a ring around them so they can't leave by calling ourselves anarcho-capitalists.
That's true, and they just say that we're wrong, and what can you say to that? Now, there's some, you know, you don't want to give it up unless you try all of the alternatives. How about sovereign grandpa?
Ew, that sounds like you're sitting around polishing your bayonet with a pocket constitution or something.
Well, yeah, the problem is that sovereign anything sounds wussy to me, so I don't know.
And sovereign citizen, which is like the kookiest construct ever, and they really believe magic words will help them, just because they should. They should, but they don't. The sovereign citizen is a contradiction, man. Sovereign has nothing to do with citizen. Citizen means you're owned by somebody.
I've met too many sovereign citizens, and it's too close to the magic word.
It is magic thing. Words, man. All right, so speaking of magic words, give me some more cards.
All right, here we go. All right, I'm coughing. Pardon me for that.
You're just being a punk tonight because you saw that punk rock documentary, so you're not muting when you clear your throat because you're like, I don't give a hoot, man. I'm the anarchy grandpa. I'll clear my throat on radio if I want to.
That's right. That's right. Here's the next card.
Yeah.
Prax Girl.
Well, I don't know who she is. Let's not do any about these weird Forget libertarian rock stars that I don't know.
All right. Well, I could change that and go, some girl somewhere.
Okay.
Did a video explaining the concept of marginal utility using blank as an example.
The Koch brothers.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know much about them.
Well, they say they're libertarians, but they're neocons. You know, there's this whole branch of rich libertarian who aren't really libertarian, like the guy who ran PayPal. They're basically, you know, a lot of them are just people that don't want to pay taxes and want to be able to smoke pot. I think that the Koch brothers just don't want to pay taxes, and good for them, but I wish they wouldn't call themselves libertarians because a lot of people think that's what libertarianism is.
Yeah, but, you know, I always hate, though, to, you know, you want to be, I mean, you don't want to wear the, you know, the anarchy purity ring, as they say.
That's awesome.
And hate, you know, people that don't come all the way with you. I mean, if they're willing to go 90% of the way, I say, hey, let's go, you know? So, I don't know.
Okay, that's a good anarchy grandpa attitude. I will remain pure and cranky and drive everyone away from me with my attitudes until they homestead a ring around me so I can't leave. But yeah, I like there's room for the anarchy grandpa who's kind to everyone. So go ahead.
Oh, all right. Anarcho blank. That sounds an awful lot like blank.
Anarcho pocket constitution. That sounds a lot like a cuss-laden screaming rant syndicated on 165 FCC-regulated stations.
That is correct.
Yep. Thanks for playing some Cards Against Humanity with me. You did pretty well, man. I mean, I don't know who won. I think the cards won. I think we both lost.
Hey, I was perfect. I was answering. I'm just asking questions.
Yep. It's not hard. I really dug it, man. You're going to be back on Sunday night with Derek J. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, I am too.
And you'll have a new mic soon.
Maybe you should call in, Michael.
What's that?
Maybe you should call in.
Last time I called into my show with Derek J, he hung up on me twice.
Gosh.
That's punk rock, man.
Boy, he's tough.
That is tough. All right.
Worms. Hope he'd be nicer to me.
Worms. I could log in and cuss dump him, though.